Good morning to you, church. It is good to be together. It's good to celebrate what God has done in VBS. I want to say again, thank you to 130 or so volunteers who helped make VBS happen this week. Awesome investment of your time as you are following Jesus and teaching our younger ones to follow Jesus as well. You know, you can tell that we've kind of used this theme of games, and whether it's a classic board game like Candyland or Chutes and Ladders, the game of life, or if it's a retro video game, you know, that's more my speed, Pac-Man, Tetris, Super Mario Brothers, or even if it's a modern epic action-adventure game like the latest Adventures of Zelda. So very many of the games we play throughout life involve a long series of twists and turns, don't they? Some laid out on a board and some that roll across a screen. Well, over the last several days, nearly 300 kids from our own church family and from the community around us here, they've been learning a little bit about games, but they've been learning a whole lot about Jesus. Because here at First Hurst, we're all about guiding all generations to know and follow Christ. And so our younger generations have been learning about Jesus and what it means to follow him through the twists and turns that come. In fact, they've learned all of that as they've seen Jesus this week, kind of through the eyes of Peter. And we're going to learn some of those same lessons this morning. Now, Peter is maybe our collective favorite among the apostles, right? I mean, he's the best known of them, and he just holds a sweet spot in most of our hearts. And I think it's because Scripture shows Peter to be a lot like us. We see him leap off the pages of God's Word in several moments of just distinguishing victories. But you know, the Bible also shows Peter in his weakest moments of failure. We get to watch Peter go through the twists and the turns, not of a game, but of a developing faith in Jesus Christ. Our kids got a glimpse of that this week as they memorized. They started with our key verse. We said it earlier together in the service, Psalm 25:4, where David wrote, make your ways known to me, Lord. Teach me your paths. And so we played off that idea of the paths. Let me tell you, the Lord's paths indeed have a lot of twists and turns. Well, like following the path of Candyland or following Pac-Man through the path of level 2. Well, our kids learned about the paths of following Jesus through the twists and turns of faith. And the first thing that they learned this week through the eyes of Peter is that Jesus is holy. Jesus is holy. We learned it from Luke chapter number 5 this week. Now, here's the deal. Early in Jesus' ministry, Peter was still working as a fisherman. I mean, this was his livelihood. And he didn't really know Jesus yet. But one day, here comes Jesus, and he's got this crowd all around him, and Jesus is teaching these people. Well, he comes up, and there's Peter. He's mending his nets, washing his nets. He's been toiling, working all night, fishing. And Jesus comes up and just gets into Peter's fishing boat. And he asked Peter, said, put out from the shore just a little ways. And Peter obliged him. And as the boat moved away from the shore, Jesus turned around and he sat down in the boat and he continued teaching all this crowd that had gathered to hear him as they were still on the shore. Well, Jesus, when he was finished teaching the crowds, he still had a lesson to teach Peter that day. He told Peter, take the boat now out into the deep part of the lake. Now, sometimes that lake is called the Sea of Galilee, but he says, go out and fish there. And this is where Peter, now he actually, like I said, he'd been fishing all night long. Apparently, he had the kind of fishing days that I usually have, you know. He's like, well, we've been out there. We've been fishing all night. We didn't catch anything. But still, he did what Jesus asked. And when he and his partners let down their nets out there in the depths of that lake, they caught so many fish, their nets were breaking from the strain of all those fish. Finally, they got the nets pulled up, and they filled up not one but two boats with all the fish that they caught. It was incredible. So much that the boats started to even sink below the waterline under the weight of that fish. And that's where in Luke chapter 5, verse number 8, we pick up in the text, and it says, when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I'm a sinful man, O Lord. There's a lot wrapped up in what Peter said right there. You see, up to this point, Peter probably had just heard about Jesus, but he didn't really know him. I think he probably was still kind of skeptical about this guy he'd heard all these reports about. But on this day, he heard Jesus teaching for himself. And something was already changing in how Peter saw Jesus. He welcomed him onto his fishing boat when Jesus stepped aboard. And Peter didn't think it was really going to do any good, but he obliged this, out of respect, he obliged this masterful teacher when he said, go out into the deep and drop your nets there. Well, the way he saw Jesus continued to change then, because in this brief interaction, Peter came to recognize that he himself was sinful, but Jesus is holy. In fact, the holy God. Did you notice in verse 8, Peter said, I am a sinful man. He recognized that. But he called Jesus Lord. And that's truth that we all need to recognize this morning. Now, I don't know how you have viewed Jesus up till now, but all of us should recognize that we are indeed sinful, while Jesus truly is the one holy Lord. You see, Jesus is the eternal God, the one and only true God, the God who stepped away from his heavenly throne to become one of us, so that he could offer himself as a holy sacrifice in our place for our sin. Indeed, we are sinful men and women, boys and girls, all of us, all have sinned. There is none who is righteous, none except Jesus. Peter came to recognize that Jesus truly is holy. And so we read a few verses later in Luke 5:11, and when they had brought their boats to land, Peter and his partners there, they left everything and followed him. They began following Jesus that very day because they recognized he is holy. This is God come to earth. This is the Messiah. Now, I would tell you this morning, you don't have to leave your livelihood behind in order to follow Jesus like Peter did. But maybe you have begun to see Jesus in a different light this morning, kind of like Peter did that day. As you come to recognize your own sin before the one holy God, I will tell you, I believe Jesus is calling you to follow him today like he did for Peter. Well, our kids got to look at another time when Peter learned about Jesus, and this time they learned that Jesus is trustworthy. He's trustworthy. It comes from Matthew 14. Here's the deal. Peter had been following the holy Lord of all for a while by this point, and one incredible day, he watched on as Jesus miraculously he fed thousands of people. In fact, scholars think it's more than just the 5,000 that we usually think of, but perhaps up to about 12,000 to 15,000. And he did it all with just 5 loaves and 2 fish. And Peter is scratching his head like, I don't understand what I've just seen. It was miraculous. And immediately after that, Jesus instructed Peter and the other disciples, his followers, he told them, get in a boat and I want you to go to the other side of the lake, that same Sea of Galilee. But Jesus didn't go with them. Well, while they're out there in the boat on the open water that evening, a sudden violent storm erupted. This is something that happens commonly on the Sea of Galilee because of the geography surrounding that area. Now, again, I don't know if you've ever been on a small boat in a big storm. All right, but I kind of have, and I'm going to tell you, it's not fun, and you don't feel safe, all right? It is a scary experience. Those disciples, they were understandably scared because Scripture tells us that the boat was being beaten by the waves. It was this big storm. Now, this is the moment where I have no doubt Peter and the other disciples started kind of rubbing their eyes like, wait, taking a double take, like, what is that I'm saying? They thought they were hallucinating because they're in the fourth watch of the night, the midst of this storm, they're out on the lake, and they see what they think is a ghost coming toward them. But it was actually Jesus walking on the water toward them in the boat. Now remember, they're out in the middle of this huge lake. And again, Jesus shows himself to be the God who does the miraculous. They weren't quite sure just what was going on yet, but Jesus calmed them. As he approached the boat, he said, take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid. Well, Peter still wasn't quite sure. So he says, well, Lord, if it's really you, call me out on the water with you. And Jesus is like, come on. Now, we can fault Peter for a lot of things, But man, he had the courage to take that first step out of the boat. And he stepped out onto the water with Jesus. Can you imagine walking on the water with Jesus? Oh, but then he did get scared. He saw the wind and the waves, and suddenly he began to sink. Matthew 14, 31 is where we pick up there, and it says, Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took hold of Peter. He took hold of him, saying to him, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? Why would you doubt me?" Peter learned that day that he really could trust Jesus to save him, and so can we. Friend, I want you to know this morning, Jesus is no charlatan. He is the real deal. He really is who he claims to be. And I know that sounds like a lot. Consider this. In his classic work titled Mere Christianity, C.S. Lewis makes the case that Jesus is one of three things. Either he's a liar who wildly deceived the masses, or he's a lunatic. I mean, just crazy, out of his mind, because he really thought he was someone special. Or what really makes sense when you weigh all the evidence, he truly is Lord. The sovereign, holy God, precisely who he claims to be. And I'll tell you, he's not a liar. He is no lunatic. Jesus is Lord. All those miraculous claims about Jesus really are true. He really did heal people of their diseases. He really did interrupt funeral processions when he raised the dead. He really did offer hope to the hopeless and show the way to heaven through his own sacrifice of himself for our sins. It's all true. Jesus is trustworthy, just like Peter learned that day, just like our kids learned this week. I don't know where you are in the twists and turns of this sometimes difficult life, but I know this. You can trust Jesus this morning, just like Peter did that day, like I've learned to trust him, like some of our kids learned to trust him this week, because he really is the God who loves you, who gave himself for you, who now offers you eternal life in him. He's trustworthy. In fact, Peter would go on to learn that not only is Jesus trustworthy, but he's also forgiving. We look to John 21 for this lesson. Fast forward about 3 years, Jesus and his followers have come to Jerusalem. And now Jesus knew that there in Jerusalem, he was going to lay down his life to atone for the sins of mankind. And as he was preparing his disciples, his closest followers, for what that was going to look like, Peter, in the midst of that, made this bold, brash pronouncement. Jesus had said, "You guys are going to desert me tonight." And Peter's like, "Whoa, no way. Everybody else might desert you, Lord, but not me. I'd never do it." And you may remember the story, how Jesus looked back and Peter said, "Well, actually, before the rooster even crows, you're going to deny three times that you know me." Peter didn't know quite what to do with that. He couldn't imagine that it would happen. But sure enough, that very night, Jesus was arrested. He was tried as a common criminal, convicted of blasphemy, later of insurrection. And as the illegal nighttime trials were being held, Peter, no surprise, he did exactly what Jesus said he was going to do. He denied his Savior three times. When he finally heard that rooster's cock-a-doodle-doo in the early morning hours, shame and regret gripped his heart. He knew how horribly he'd sinned against the Savior. He'd have to live with that shame. But days later, after Jesus had laid down his life to make atonement for our sin on the cross of Calvary, after he had then, 3 days later, supernaturally risen from the dead by his own power, and he could do that because he's the one holy God, after all of that, he came to some of his disciples one day on the seashore. Another boat was involved because Peter and some of the other disciples, they had decided, we're going to go back to fishing. Well, in the interactions that followed, Jesus showed forgiveness to Peter. This fisherman who had so flippantly denied he even knew Jesus, to him the Savior spoke words not of shame and condemnation, but rather Jesus spoke words of encouragement and hope and forgiveness to Peter. He revealed to him that he was going to use Peter as a leader among God's people even. We read about it in John 21, and there in verse number 19 of that chapter, it says, after saying this, Jesus said to Peter, follow me. The same thing he had said 3.5 years earlier that day when Jesus stepped into his fishing boat. He said again, follow me. Because Peter thought he had just blown it and all hope was lost now. And Jesus offered forgiveness and said, just get back to following me. I know you failed. I know you feel terrible about it, but get back to following me. Jesus forgave Peter for his sin. You see, Jesus really is forgiving. And he's forgiving to a degree that you and I can scarcely comprehend. Remember, like we said earlier, we are all of us sinners. And like Peter, we all need God's forgiveness. So Jesus is the one and only holy God. As such, he's the one and only righteous judge of man. Well, that means that he's the only one who can forgive our sin debt. And this he does freely, I might add. This he does as a gift of grace. He doesn't ask us to earn it because we never could. He doesn't belittle us and shame us, rubbing our failures in our face. No, he has taken steps. He's made a move to reconcile us unto himself. He doesn't require that we pay some penance. You see, he's already paid the price for our sin. No, Jesus, instead, he just showers us with his love and his grace and his forgiveness, just like he did for Peter. He pursues us. He calls us to keep on following him. He calls us into relationship with himself. Not only did he make a way for us to be forgiven and saved from our sin, but he just lavishes his forgiveness upon us. Forgiveness which, by very definition, is undeserved. The holy, just God has gone beyond justice to mercy and forgiveness. And that inexplicable forgiveness of God, I want you to know, it is not exhausted. It is still available today. God's forgiveness is still available for you today if you'll but turn to him in repentance and faith. Then, like Peter, you can know the overwhelming forgiveness of Jesus. Well, through the ongoing twists and turns of a faith-filled life, we find a changed, more mature Peter who continued to learn about following Jesus even after Jesus had ascended back to the right hand of the Father. The next lesson he would learn and teach to us, like our kids learned this week, is that Jesus is worth following. He's worth following. It's in Acts 3 and 4. There in Jerusalem, God used Peter and John to miraculously heal this man who had never walked in his life, never been able to walk. And as you can imagine, that kind of drew some attention. There was a crowd forming, like, what is going on and how is this possible? And in the stir of that fascinated crowd who witnessed that healing, Peter took the opportunity to share the gospel with those amazed onlookers. He pointed them to Jesus, like, Oh, you think that we healed this guy? No. Let me tell you about the one who healed this man. And Peter told them about Jesus, how he's holy and trustworthy and forgiving. And he told them how they could know the peace of God just like he did. Many people chose to follow Jesus that day. But, you know, that only drew the anger, the ire of the Jewish religious leaders. In fact, those leaders arrested Peter and John, held them in prison in custody overnight. The next day, they drug them out and interrogated, and Peter and John finally charged them. These powerful, influential religious leaders said this. Look, it's in Acts chapter 4, verse number 18. Says, so they called them, the leaders called Peter and John, and charged them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. They're like, that's it. You guys can't be teaching about Jesus anymore. Verse 19, but Peter and John answered them, whether it's right in the sight of God to listen to you rather than to God, you must judge. For we cannot but speak of what we have seen and heard. Peter said, we're just going to keep on talking about Jesus. We're going to keep on having gospel conversations. We just have to, because Jesus is worth following. Peter had come to understand that no matter how powerful and influential those leaders were, no matter how unpopular it might become to speak about Jesus, and no matter what consequences he might face as a Christ follower here on earth, he had learned it was worth it to follow Jesus. He wasn't going to make the same mistake he had made before. He wouldn't deny Jesus again. No, from now on, he would follow Jesus no matter what. And let me tell you, a life that's lived following Jesus is the only truly fulfilling life that you can live. He is worth following. Now, that doesn't mean it's the easiest way to live. It's sure not the most popular way to structure your life. It means that things will change if you follow Jesus. Because like you heard our kids tell us just a little bit ago, following Jesus changes everything. But Jesus is worth following. Even when it's unpopular. Even when there may be consequences. I'll tell you also, you know, we all have hobbies and passions, things that we just are interested in and enjoy. And for me, some of those things are like cycling and fishing. I'm not real good at either of those, but I enjoy them, right? Some people pour themselves into camping or sports or fashion or bowling or pickleball or travel or shopping or whatever. There's a million things in this wide world for us to pursue. But I'll tell you, whatever may be competing for your affections, whatever in the world would entice you, whatever captures your attention and seems like a worthwhile investment of your time and resources. Not that there's anything wrong with those things we just mentioned. I'm just telling you, Jesus is better. Jesus is better. He just is. Following Jesus through the twists and turns of this life, man, it's the only way to really live. He is worth following. Well, it wasn't long before Peter would learn yet another lesson about following Jesus. It comes to us from Acts chapter number 10. There, the Lord made it clear to Peter that Jesus is for everyone. Jesus is for everyone. You see, Peter, just like most Jewish people of his day, he had this view that only the Jewish people could be God's people. I mean, after all, God was known as the God of the Jews, right? And so as far as Peter was concerned, everyone else in the world, collectively referred to as Gentiles, everyone else in the world was outside of God's promises. As Peter thought, everyone else was outside of God's grace and love as well. Yeah, Peter had some pretty serious prejudices. But the Lord showed him that he was wrong in that. That there's no place for partiality or favoritism or racism or discrimination. No, the Lord showed Peter that Jesus and the gospel are for everyone. That Jesus didn't die just for the Jews. He didn't die only for people that are considered morally good. No, God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but will have everlasting life. Here's how it went down in Acts chapter number 10. God sent Peter on a journey to the Gentile region of Caesarea to learn this critical lesson. The Lord directed him to the home of a Gentile named Cornelius. Now, up to this time, Peter likely had never stepped foot into a Gentile's home because it was considered to make a Jew unclean if they did that. He'd never eaten non-kosher food as the Gentiles did, but as he was following Jesus, the Spirit of God led him directly to the home of Cornelius. And there he used Peter to proclaim the gospel message to a group of assembled, guess what? Gentiles. And this is how Peter started his talk. In Acts 10:34, Peter opened his mouth and said, "Truly, I understand that God shows no partiality." And as the text of God's word bears out, this was actually the first time that Peter understood this truth. From there, he would go on to tell those same Gentiles about Jesus, how he's holy and trustworthy, and how he is forgiving and worth following. You see, Peter had to set aside the prejudices that he had long held against Gentiles because he learned that everyone is a sinner. He learned that no one, Jew or Gentile, is righteous or good enough to be accepted by God. He learned that everyone needs the gospel of God's grace. to be saved from sin. And he learned that anyone can be saved by God's grace through faith in Jesus Christ as the Savior. And I want you to hear this morning. That still holds true today. Jesus is for everyone, and friend, that includes you. No matter your age, whether you're a young one who just had the best time at VBS this week, or if you're a young mom who had the best time while your kids were at VBS this week, or if you're someone who's been around long enough to see more VBS events and more summer seasons than you really care to count. No matter your age, no matter what your past looks like, no matter what mistakes or failures, sins and regrets you carry, Jesus' love, His mercy, His grace, His forgiveness, they are for you today. His salvation is for you because Jesus is for everyone. And we'd love to talk to you more about that even this morning. Indeed, there are a lot of twists and turns in this life, but the path of following Jesus, I'm telling you, it is not a game. This is serious. It has eternal impact. And you don't have to leave here this morning wondering what your eternity will look like. Because just like Peter learned 2,000 years ago, just like our younger ones learned even this week, Jesus is holy and He is trustworthy. And He is forgiving, and He is worth following, and He is for everyone. Amen? Amen? Let's pray together. Our Father, we thank You today for Your good grace to us. Thank You for these truths that so many volunteers poured into our kids this week. Thank You for these truths that we can celebrate still today. Thank You that You're holy. Thank You that You forgive. Thank You that You show no partiality. You're for everyone. Thank You that You're for me. Thank You that You allowed me a lot of years ago to hear the truth of the gospel, to trust You. You forgave me and gave me new life, made me alive in Christ, gave me eternal life. Thank You, God, that You've done that for several in this room today. And those watching online, but God, there may be some who have never followed You. They've never admitted their sin, believed that You're the Savior, and confessed You as Lord. May today be the day as You're calling, follow me. Help us to respond in faith today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.